right. Welcome, everyone, to this podcast. Today, we have a wonderful guest. I'm very excited to have him on the show. This is Peter Berube, everyone. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Mary Jo. What's happening?
It's good to talk to you. So I know that you're an actor in LA and a director, and our listeners would love to hear what you have to say. So I'm just going to jump in with some questions. And and take it from there. So the first question I wanted to ask you that I know is probably burning on the hearts of those who want to go to LA is, back before you moved to LA, is there anything you wish someone would have told you?
I mean, there's a million things. You know, there's unfortunately like nothing that can really prep anybody for like getting into this business other than you have to do it. And I would say the biggest thing that you have to spend a lot of time working on is getting to know who you are. And I mean that both in the sort of like doing a lot of self-analysis and sort of understanding how you function and where your sort of like roots of inspiration are, but also knowing who you are in the community. Like, where do you fit in? What puzzle piece do you provide? Because that is the thing. You are a product. And when I first moved to LA, I was just like, I love acting. So, you know, I want to be an actor. I want to play all of these different roles. And that's not how the business works. Nobody gets hired to be an actor. You get hired to bring your unique essence to a role. You know, there's a very big reason why they hire Leonardo DiCaprio versus like hiring somebody like Joaquin Phoenix. They bring different energy to something, even if it's the same role they're going after. So you got to know who you are, and you have to know where you fit in the global community as well. What do you bring to the table as a person that is different and unique to you? I guess I would say
that's excellent. Yeah, it's something that we often don't think about. We all want to be like the best actor, and I can play any role. I know that you're also a director. So what would you say to a director who's struggling out in LA?
Well, again, it's the same boat. I do a lot less directing now. I mean, part of my process was I love doing everything. So I did a lot of stunts. I did a lot of voiceover. I'm a writer. I got into the world of wearing a million hats. And throughout my career, I've had to like really narrow those hats down. So I don't do as much directing anymore. But the community of directors that I work with, they're going through the same process. Like, there is a reason why you hire a certain director over another director. And that comes to how you work with actors, your specific voice. Like, what do you think about the world and people? Why do you find yourself drawn towards the stories that you want to tell? And then how do you tell those stories differently than other people? A lot of people love being this sort of like fill in the blank director. Again, the sort of like, I could do anything. And your stuff just is very general and uninteresting because we don't need another wide shot with an over the shoulder and a close up. You know, like, what are you bringing to this scene with your specific vision that makes you you? Developing your own style is your like primary focus as an artist across all mediums. Is what I would add.
This is really good. We've heard teachers say different things throughout the years as an acting student. And one of the things that I remember back in the day hearing more than one person say is, if you could do anything else, do that. Do you agree with that?
Yes, 100%.
And why?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is like this, like the world right now, this industry doesn't make a whole lot of sense. In terms of the fact that like it never follows any pattern, meaning like you can make an amazing masterpiece and it could be turned down by everybody for a decade. And then 10 years later, people stumble across it and go, oh my God, this is amazing. And it could have been like the best picture. Like that's what happened to Slumdog Millionaire. So there is no gauge on whether or not what you're doing is working. So since the business itself is like really, really gaslighting you all of the time, the only thing that keeps you in it is that you have to do it, is that you love this thing so much that if you did anything else, I can't do like a week at a regular job. I can spend a decade you know, scraping away at this gaslighting business that doesn't make any sense and love every minute of it, you know, but I couldn't spend a week in an office. And that energy and that passion for the art and the work is the thing that keeps you going in all of those times where you have countless amounts of rejection. And then also, like, going back to the gaslighting thing, I've had moments where I've worked for 3 straight months on a project and launched it and immediately died. And then 2 weeks later, I get a phone call for a massive opportunity that I put no work in towards.
Yeah.
So, like, you're constantly in this wave of, like, well, I don't know. I don't know how to pursue this business because I did nothing and I got an amazing thing. And I did 3 months of work and I got nothing. And, you know, you have to really let go of trying to reconcile that because that's how it works. Yeah.
So what would you essentially say to someone who's wanting to be an actor and move to LA?
Outside of sort of like finding your specific voice, you know, I kind of put this on the back burner for a good period of time, that the aspect of, like, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It really is about who you know, meaning building your network is your other top priority. And I don't mean that like networking, like you go to a party and schmooze. I mean, like, be a good person, build your community, go to your friends' shows, collaborate with people, collaborate with new people. Don't get comfortable with the same community, because that is where 90% of your jobs come from. Mm-hmm. Like, even when you're at the top level of this business, you get your work from the people that you build relationships with. Mm-hmm. And so you might not want to go out to someone's birthday party, but, like, that's kind of your job, because you don't know who you're going to meet at that birthday party. And you don't, I've had so many situations where I didn't want to go out, I forced myself to go out, and then I end up in a conversation with someone that leads to another project the next day.
Wow.
And it's not the same as, like, I my numbers are better in that arena than getting auditions or I mean, like, booking things through auditions. You're going to get stuff from your network. So
that's
be friendly.
Yeah. That's excellent advice.
Yeah.
So what, as an actor, if there's only one tool that you could use when you're on set, you're acting, what would that be?
The biggest tool is breathing. I know that sounds strange at first, but when you are thinking, you stop breathing. Which means if you're crafting your performance, if you're being sort of inauthentic, you're actually not breathing like a regular person breathes. And if you stop and check in with yourself and just breathe, you become more present in your body and you get out of your head. It also puts you in connection with the other person that you're doing the scene with. And I can't even tell you, when I started sort of like doing this process with my current acting teacher, getting the focus off of me and onto the person across from me and just communicating and just breathing, like, all of a sudden I was hitting these emotional chords like I've never hit. And the cool thing about it was effortless. So much of your work is about trusting yourself. And there are constantly deeper levels of how much you can trust. And one of the ways that you can find that trust is just through breathing and allowing yourself to be seen. Like, allowing the camera to look at you, allowing the other person to look at you, and not trying to get the attention off of you, you know? But it is where the good stuff is. Yeah.
This is gold. Thank you so much.
No problem.
I love it. And so what made you first fall in love with acting?
You know what's weird is, like, it was never a choice for me. I as a little kid, I was like, oh, I'm going to do that. I just, like, love movies. I love playing pretend. I think my driving force in all the work that I do is I just love the truth. I'm a truth seeker. And that means that I am so obsessively fascinated by people. In the terms of, like, why they do things, what's at the root of how we function. And I look at it from a very non-judgmental place, meaning, like, I don't look at it from any lens of good and bad. It just is. I'm fascinated by what is, and I also really love the connection that comes from telling stories. Mm. Like, I can be overwhelmed and exhausted and just like a mess of a person, and then I have to go on stage or I have to present something and I instantly light up and I'm alive and I'm connected to every single person in that room, and there is nothing like that. I am never more present in my world than when I'm on stage or when I'm teaching or presenting.
That's awesome. Would you say that's what keeps you motivated, the memory of what it's going to be like?
Yeah, you also have to, like, I will tell everybody out there, the process sucks a lot of the time. Meaning, like, I'm a writer, and I know full well that when I step in to do my, like, daily writing, it can be a grind most of the time. But then, after, especially when in the writing world, after I've, like, completed my first draft of whatever piece it is, and I start going back and doing rewrites, I'm like, oh God, this is fun. Oh, I can see where I was trying to do things. And you start doing this dance with the piece. And that's the same thing with acting. And it's not necessarily that you, like, you crave that drug of connection, but it is a moment that, like, brings you back to life. Mm. And I don't, like, seek it out because of that high. I love grappling with a real challenge. Mm. And some days you lose, you know, and you have to be, like, okay with that. And then some days you win and, like, oh my God, that just changes everything.
Do you have a specific memory of extremely rewarding experience as an actor?
I have had so many, and they have all been so different. There was a period of time I was doing 8 shows just in random places. And I remember stopping and just sort of being backstage and having a moment just for, like, how grateful I am that, like, this is the life that I have. But, like, one of the most recent memories is I now do a show that teaches consent. It's consent education around universities all over the country.
Well, that's awesome.
It's a topic that I'm really passionate about and is really important. And you not only are connecting with people, but you are changing people's lives, and you're adding to their stories. And I've been teaching workshops of all different kinds, acting workshops, and just sort of like human being life connection workshops. And those moments where you watch somebody transcend, like you say something that you watch this sort of like mind-blowing moment happen in them. Mm. And they're a new person after that. And you've added to their life. You've made things change for the better. And there's nothing more satisfying than that for me.
Wow. And so
I'm just making people laugh.
I know, you're very good at it. I have one of a memory. I imagine you remember this. You did this 80s show that you were, yes. It was so hilarious. When you are taking on a project, what allows you to know whether to take it on or not?
Well, here's the crazy thing in my world is I have not had a moment where I'm not doing at least 8 projects since high school. So I don't know what that moment is of, like, not taking on a project. But I will say part of your job is to know what things to say no to. And the best advice I've ever gotten from anybody is you have to grade everything that comes in on, like, a 2-point system of it is either something that you're passionate about or it's something that pays you really well. And if it's not either one of those things, don't do it.
Mm.
So if it's both of those things, oh my God, yikes, that's amazing. You know, there's gonna be a lot of projects that you're gonna do. Like, you might start off working on them for free, but, like, if you're really inspired, if you really love the piece, if you really love the people, if the subject matter is something that's important to you, great. Or you step in and do a certain job, you're like, okay, well, I'm not super thrilled about talking about toothpaste, but, like, man, that's gonna set me up to do a lot of other things. Awesome. But there are so many actors that I know that do projects that are not paying them and they hate, mm-hmm. because they are so hungry to be doing something. And the problem with that is your time is so precious. And any energy you are putting towards one thing, you're not putting towards something else. So if you're working on this play that you don't really like and it's not really paying you, and you're working on it for 3 months, you could have been meeting new people in that 3 months. You could have been stumbling across another project. You taking on that project could have prevented you from booking this other role. There is such a drive to be doing stuff. And so people often fill that gap of time just so that they feel busy. And that's like the biggest trap you can fall into. I have moments like last year, and this is just sort of the nature of the beast because things move in different waves. I had 16 projects that were out for sale and I had nothing to do with my days. And it was because I had done my part, you know, like my job was done. And then someone would be like, oh, can you make an edit on this? I'm like, great. And then do it in a couple hours and then I'm back to being free again. But I have learned in that experience of like, Peter, I know you don't feel like you're busy, but like, this is not the time to start a new thing. And more importantly, depending on like what part of your process is. So I'm a creator. I get hired to make stuff. I'm not the salesperson. And I'm not the producer. So I love creating, but there's a lot of times where I have to do the sales aspect of it, or I have to do the production aspect of it. And I will avoid those things. And if I'm avoiding those things, I may be inspired to fulfill it by creating a new thing. And that's like a trap for me. Like, had I allowed myself to go, okay, you're not allowed to start another project. You've got to finish this one, which is like one of the most important things I can say to any artist out there is it's not about all the things you start. It's about the things that you finish. It feels good to start a new project. It is an arduous process to finish a project, but all of the gold is on the other side of finishing things, not starting new things.
Wow, you've given us so much extremely valuable information just in this interview. Thank you so much. So are there any projects that you're currently working on that people can come check out?
Yeah, I have a movie that is on Amazon Prime. It just sort of finished all its festival stuff. It's called We Are Gathered Here. It's a wonderful little comedy, whatever. And the cool thing about that project is it also has like a bunch of offshoot series stuff that the production team put together. So there's like, there's a prequel web series and like a sequel mockumentary doc. I also have this podcast, which is going into its second season called Why God Why, which is conversations with God. It's a really weird comedy philosophy project that's been going on for a little bit. Which you can find on iTunes and stuff. And right now I'm also working on this feature that I can't say too much about, except that it is a, not like a parody, but it is a comedic version of what happened in the Firefest documentaries. If anyone's seen any of those, stuff going on to the influencer culture that we're making a great comedic commentary on.
And I imagine it's going to be great. I know we always loved all of your work. It was very, very good. As I know that you're also a photographer, right? You take headshots, yes. Acting headshots. So how, if an actor's interested in getting headshots from you, how can they contact you?
The best way to do it is through pbereephotography @gmail.com. I do all of my headshots very sort of under the radar because I like getting it through referrals of people. Mm-hmm. Because to me, that process of doing a dance with an actor and getting them to breathe and allowing the camera to see them and like capturing their essence is a really personal and like beautiful process. So I don't like working with jerks, which is why I don't advertise it, but I love doing it. And there's such a joy that comes from capturing that right shot. You know, it's the same thing with acting. Like most of my work as a photographer is creating a safe environment for that person's essence and who they are to really shine through. And that's just what makes a good headshot. It's like you being the you-iest version of you.
You took my headshots and they were great.
Oh my God, yes, yeah, so long ago.
It was a long time ago.
Great. Also, it's probably easier to find me at P. Berube Photography on Instagram. That's okay. The easiest way.
So
and you can see the photos there.
P. Berube Photography. And yeah, I'll put that in the description. Thank you so much for taking the time for this. This was so good and so needed. And I know that your time is valuable. So again, thank you so much, Peter. And
yeah, happy to help.
Everyone listening to the podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. And I look forward to catching you on the next episode.